Good afternoon, and welcome to the Green Thumb Show. I'm Lee Murray, your reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for joining us. From the Chicago Tribune, pick flowers that thrive in the heat. Choose tolerant plants to help your garden flourish in hot or dry conditions. By Jessica Damiano, the Associated Press. When summer temperatures soar, we humans can take shelter indoors. Our garden plants, however, have no such respite. Some may droop, wilt, or get crispy, while others may simply refuse to bloom. Although there's not much we can do to counter extreme weather, we can equip our gardens to stand up to it better by choosing flowers that will shine through hot, dry stretches under a scorching sun. Plants growing in containers will always need more attention than their in-ground counterparts. That's because their water and nutrient needs are completely dependent on us. Sometimes, after watering my pots in the morning, they're bowing humbly by sunset. But well-established heat and drought-tolerant garden plants have more modest needs and, if necessary, can stretch their roots to access water farther away. Coneflower, Echinacea hardy in zones 3 to 9, is the superstar of my garden. After watering through their first season to establish a healthy root system, I can neglect them and still enjoy a floriferous season. Black-eyed Susans, their bedmates, are no slackers either. Blanket flowers get their name from their spreading habit as they blanket beds with yellow, orange, and red blossoms. If you ask me, they should be called electric blanket flower for the heat they can take. Zinnias also flourish in the heat, although they can be susceptible to powdery mildew and high humidity. Moss rose produces small, self-seeding flowers in various colors on semi-succulent ground-cover plants that store water in their leaves like camels. Other succulents to consider include prickly pear cactus and stonecrop. Also ice plant, though avoided in California, Baja California, and other locales where it has been deemed invasive. Lantanas provide sweet bi- and tri-colored clusters of small blooms on mounded plants, attracting bees, butterflies, and hummingbirds. They're a gardener's and a pollinator's dream, flowering from late spring through frost. More sun lovers, petunias, specifically supertunia, tidal wave, and Laura Bush types, are notably resilient. Petchoas, the loved children of petunias and calibrachoas, resist scorch, but may need deep watering if things get really ugly. Cosmos are remarkably resistant plants with feathery foliage and daisy-like blooms of pink, magenta, white, orange, or yellow. Sunflowers love the sun. What more is there to say? Marigolds are dutiful and dependable. Available in a variety of heights, they typically bloom orange, yellow, or copper red. But if you look hard enough, you'll find seeds for a few ivory-colored varieties like Kilimanjaro, Sugar and Spice, and Moonlight. Lanolace, a new compact and uniform African marigold with crisp cream flowers that stands up well up to the weather, will be available at garden centers in 2027. From the June-July issue of Phoenix Home and Garden magazine, here's a letter to readers from Noelle, a.k.a. AZ Plant Lady, and she writes, "Hello, friends. Summer is here, and with it comes the intense heat that brings challenges to gardening in the desert. While we never quite know what each summer will bring, one thing is certain. The season has a way of showing us what's working in our landscapes and what isn't. Step outside on a hot afternoon and you'll see right away which plants are truly thriving and which are struggling. It's easy to focus on helping everything survive the heat, but this time of year also gives us a chance to observe and learn from the plants in our yard. The stress that plants experience now can reveal issues with placement, sun exposure, and even plant selection. This is an opportunity to observe what's working and what isn't so you can make needed changes. Let's explore what your garden is telling you and how to use those insights to create a more resilient, water-efficient landscape. What the summer heat reveals about your landscape. Step outside in your yard on a summer afternoon and you feel it instantly, the intense heat radiating from the ground, walls, and walkways. Some plants seem to handle the high temperatures easily, while others show signs of stress. During this time of year, we are presented with an opportunity to get a clear picture of what's working in your landscape and what isn't. Summer acts as a stress test for your garden, revealing which plants are well suited to your space and which ones may need to be replaced or relocated. Paying attention now can save you time, money, and frustration later. Plants that struggle are often located in the wrong place. If a plant is consistently showing signs of stress, such as sunburn, wilting, or poor growth, it may be in an area that receives too much sun. Plants have different light requirements, and it's a common mistake to add a plant without first determining its preferred sun exposure. If sun stress is an issue and you want to move your plant to a more shaded location, don't dig it up during the summer. It's unlikely it will survive being transplanted then. The best approach is to provide temporary relief from the sun, such as applying 50% shade cloth, and then plan to replace or relocate it in the fall when planting conditions are ideal and roots have time to establish before the next summer arrives. Some plants simply aren't suited for desert heat. If a plant continues to struggle year after year, it may not be well adapted to our intense summer conditions. While many plants are labeled as heat tolerant, not all can handle the combination of several months of triple-digit temperatures, reflected heat, and low humidity. Rather than wasting time and resources trying to keep these plants alive, replace them with species that are proven to thrive in the desert. Take note of what performs well in your own landscape and in your neighborhood, and utilize local online resources such as amwua.org/plants, which has recommendations for heat-proof trees, shrubs, ground covers, and more. Sunburned foliage reveals a need for shade. Plants exposed to intense afternoon sun often develop yellowing or burned foliage, especially on their west and south-facing sides. Adding shade from trees or large shrubs, such as hopbush or orange bells, can provide relief and help lower temperatures. Place them where they will provide shade during the hottest part of the afternoon. For more immediate protection, shade cloth is an effective solution. Use 50% for shrubs, vines, and ground covers, and 30% for succulents. Even providing temporary shade during the hottest part of the day can make a noticeable difference. Rapid wilting often points to shallow watering. If plants wilt between irrigation cycles, it's often because moisture isn't reaching deep enough into the soil. Shallow watering encourages roots to remain near the surface where soil dries out quickly and temperatures are higher. Deep watering encourages roots to grow farther down where it is cooler and moisture lasts longer. Use a soil probe, long screwdriver, or piece of rebar to check how far water is penetrating after you irrigate, and adjust your watering duration to reach the appropriate depth for each type of plant. Recommended depths: trees 2 to 3 feet, shrubs 1.5 to 2 feet, ground covers 1 to 1.5 feet, succulents 8 to 12 inches. Locate the hottest areas of your yard. Notice where the heat feels most intense in your yard, especially in the afternoon. Block walls, gravel-covered areas, and hard surfaces such as driveways, patios, and walkways absorb and radiate heat, raising temperatures around nearby plants. Add tall shrubs along walls to block radiant heat and use heat-tolerant ground covers such as Outback Sunrise Emu to cover exposed areas of landscape rock. Planting trees, both large and small, can provide shade for sunny areas. Together, these strategies can significantly reduce heat stress on your plants. Notice what's thriving. Observe which plants continue to look good despite the heat. These have proven themselves to be heat-proof and should play a larger role in your landscape moving forward. Look beyond your own yard as well. Notice what's thriving in your neighborhood, along streets, in parking lots, and in other landscapes. Take photos of plants you like and ask a local nursery professional to help identify them. They can also recommend reliable, heat-tolerant plants to incorporate into your garden when planting season returns in the fall. Here are some letters that were submitted to Phoenix Home and Garden magazine by readers. My landscaper told me I should be fertilizing my trees, shrubs, and ground covers through the summer to keep them healthy and looking good. Is that really necessary for desert plants? And here's the answer. This is a very common recommendation. But in most desert landscapes, it isn't necessary, and in the summer, it can actually cause undue stress for your plants. Most native and desert-adapted plants don't need supplemental fertilizer at all. They are well-suited to our soils and their naturally lower nutrient levels, and adding fertilizer won't necessarily improve their health. In fact, it can stimulate lush, leafy growth at the expense of blooms while also attracting insects that feed on the tender new growth. During summer, most plants grow very little and instead focus their energy on coping with the stress of extreme heat. Fertilizing now pushes them into an active growth cycle, diverting resources away from heat tolerance. Instead of helping the plant, it can make it more susceptible to damage. There are a few exceptions. Flowering annuals, vegetables, and herbs benefit from summer feeding since they are actively growing and producing. Palms are another exception. They respond well to fertilizer, but the best time to apply it is in early summer when soil temperatures are warm. Here's the next question. I'm new to growing tomatoes in the desert. I have a healthy tomato plant I started this spring. What can I do to get it to last through the summer? And here's the answer. Tomatoes can be grown successfully in the desert, and spring is the primary growing season. As summer approaches, tomato plants begin to slow down. Once daytime temperatures consistently reach the 90s, tomato pollen becomes unviable, which means flowering and fruit production will gradually stop. The good news is that any existing fruit will continue to ripen. To help your tomato plants survive the summer and produce again in the fall, shade protection is a must. Provide relief using 50% shade cloth once temperatures reach the 90s. This helps reduce stress and prevent sunburn on both the foliage and fruit. Keep it in place for the hottest months and remove it once temperatures begin to drop below the mid-90s in early to mid-fall. In September, lightly prune your plant by removing dead or leggy growth. This encourages fresh new growth once nighttime temperatures begin to cool into the 70s. Your plant will produce flowers and fruit for a second, smaller fall harvest. Here's the next question. My yard is covered in landscape rock, which my HOA requires. I have several ground covers that show leaf burn in summer from the reflected heat. I don't want to replace them. Is there something I can do to prevent this? And here's the answer. This is a common issue in desert landscapes. Landscape rock absorbs and radiates heat, which can significantly raise temperatures around your plants, especially in full sun. This extra heat can lead to leaf burn on non-native desert plants. There are a few effective ways to reduce the stress. One option is to pull the rock back several inches from the base of each plant and cover the bare soil with organic mulch, such as bark chips. This will help keep the soil cooler, reduces moisture loss, and won't retain heat the way that rock does. You could also allow your ground covers to grow and spread so they begin to cover more of the exposed rock, naturally shading the soil and helping to lower temperatures over time. For additional protection, apply 50% shade cloth directly over the plants once temperatures consistently reach around 100 degrees. Shade cloth is usually available in colors including black, green, and beige, so it can blend into the landscape. Remove it in early fall when temperatures begin to drop into the 90s. Now here are the monthly garden tasks for low to mid elevations. Get your roses ready for the summer heat. Roses don't love this hot time of year, so it's best to leave them alone, aside from proper watering and providing sun protection if needed. Move landscape rock away from the base of each shrub as it increases heat around the plant and replace it with 2 to 3 inches of compost or bark chips. This organic mulch helps keep soil temperatures cooler and reduces moisture loss. Water every 2 to 3 days, making sure moisture reaches a depth of about 24 inches. In areas with intense reflected sun, consider covering your roses with 50% shade cloth for added protection. Make sure your irrigation system is working properly. Turn the water on and watch for areas of unexpected moisture away from plants, which may indicate a leak. Check that all drip emitters are in place in delivering water to each plant. If an emitter is clogged or not flowing properly, replace it. Open your irrigation valve box and look for standing water or signs of a leaking valve. For lawn areas, observe sprinkler patterns to be sure water is not hitting sidewalks, walls, or driveways. Schedule irrigation for the early morning hours, which reduces evaporation and allows plants to absorb moisture more effectively before the stress of the day's heat arrives. Continue planting warm season crops such as okra, basil, Armenian cucumber, and sweet potatoes. Direct seed melons, beans, and summer squash or transplant seedlings started indoors. Heat-loving herbs, including basil, oregano, thyme, sage, and lemongrass, also perform well this time of year. Amend soil with compost and aged manure, gently mixing it into the top few inches without disturbing deeper layers. As temperatures rise, cover your edible garden with 50% shade cloth to reduce stress and prevent sunburn. Water deeply and consistently in the early morning to help plants handle the heat. Apply organic mulch such as compost or straw to keep soil cooler and reduce moisture loss. For higher elevations, direct seed native plants and wildflowers and transplant perennials to fill in garden beds. Plant trees and shrubs now so they have time to establish during the growing season. In the vegetable garden, plant tomatoes, peppers, melons, eggplant, and beans. Wait until later in June to plant heat-loving crops such as squash and cucumbers. Continue to monitor weather forecasts for late-season frost or hail, which can still occur in these regions. Prune spring-flowering shrubs after they finish blooming to maintain shape and encourage healthy growth. Plant summer bulbs and annual flowers to add seasonal color. Water regularly, especially for new plantings, and remove weeds as soon as they pop up while they are still easy to manage. Easy to manage being the operative words. And in each issue of Phoenix Home and Garden Magazine is a section called the Fab Four. The June-July issue has the Cottage Classic. Start planning now to bring the charm and color of these cool season blooms to your garden. First on the list is the Drakenstein Tulip. This is an annual. Blooms pink and white in the spring, 16 inches by 18 inches high by 2 inches to 3 inches wide. Needs well-drained soil, grows in zones 3 through 8, needs full to partial sun, medium water, medium maintenance, attracts butterflies and hummingbirds. Fringe tulip bulbs should be purchased pre-chilled, if possible, or refrigerated for 8 to 12 weeks in a paper bag before planting. Plant the bulbs about 5 to 6 inches deep in the late fall or winter and keep in a spot that receives full sun for best results. While technically perennials, are often treated as annuals in the desert. Why we like it? Look forward to stunning blooms in the spring when the Drakenstein tulips, pink and white bicolor fringe petals add charm to a cottage-style garden. Tulips are ideal for cut flower arrangements, especially when cut just before the buds open. Next on the list, Canterbury Bells. This is an annual, blooms pink in the spring, grows 8 to 12 inches high by 8 to 12 inches wide, needs well-drained soil, grows in zones 5 through 8, needs full to partial sun, medium water, medium maintenance, attracts bees and butterflies. Also known as bell flower, this flower is best purchased as plugs and grown as an annual in hot climates in the fall for April-May blooms. This dwarf variety of bellflower has a relatively compact growth habit compared to taller varieties and is ideal for 5 to 6 inch pots or mixed containers. Why we like it? This bellflower's cup-shaped pink blooms add charm to small spaces, and its compact size makes it ideal for mixed containers, hanging baskets, borders, and cottage gardens alongside other colorful annuals. The cups tend to collect water when it rains, perfect for thirsty pollinators. Ranunculus, Butterfly Musa. This is a perennial. Blooms red in the spring, 25 by 30 inches high by 10 to 12 inches wide. Needs well-drained soil, grows in zones 8 to 11. Needs full sun, low water, low maintenance, attracts bees and butterflies. As opposed to traditional ranunculus, with one large, densely petaled bloom per stem, butterfly ranunculus have branched stems with 5 to 7 smaller open face blooms, giving them an airy, wildflower-like appearance. Butterflies are also considered hardier and less prone to rot. Why we like it? When used as cut flowers in arrangements, butterfly ranunculus blooms last as long as 2 to 3 weeks due to their pearlescent, waxy coating. They're also ideal for containers and bridal bouquets. Musa buds start out as red, and the bronze flowers fade to soft coral as they age, but they're also available in a variety of other colors. Finally, on the cottage classics, the fourth is the delphinium. This is an annual, blooms blue in the spring, grows 36 to 48 inches high by 12 to 18 inches wide. Needs well-drained soil, grows in zones 3 through 7, needs full to partial sun, medium water, medium maintenance. Attracts bees, butterflies, and hummingbirds. Also known as candle larkspur, delphiniums come in a variety of colors and are best treated as annuals in hot climates. Plant in the fall or winter for March-April blooms. Due to their height, support from peony cages or stakes is required. Note that all parts of delphinium are toxic, so exercise caution around children and pets. Why we like it? The striking blue flowers with a white eye in the center grow stacked along tall, sturdy stems. Delphiniums add height and drama to both outdoor gardens and cut floral arrangements, lasting about a week with proper care once cut. And those of you who are regular listeners to this show know we feature stories each week from the terrific book, Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. This story is called Sunflowers in Beijing. It was written by Linda Jin Zhao, and there's a quote here from Lady Bird Johnson. Where flowers bloom, so does hope. Sunflowers in Beijing. I grew up in Beijing, China, during the turbulent years of the Chinese Cultural Revolution. My parents, both medical doctors, belonged to the group of intellectuals the revolution intended to purge and educate. In 1966, when I was 12, the revolution was at its height. Each day when I came home from school, I saw my parents' mood grow more somber. Some of their friends had already been imprisoned, while others were dragged into the streets, beaten and humiliated. Our house seemed shrouded in an eerie silence and sadness. I feared the worst for my parents. I tried to focus on happier times. 2 years earlier, my father had turned the tiny patch of dirt in front of our house into a garden. Each spring, Father and I dug into the dry soil, fertilized it with chicken manure, and planted sunflower seeds. The sunflowers grew tall, and their faces turned to the sun, as if smiling. Father loved to sit in the sun, watching the garden until his smile matched that of the sunflowers. In the fall, after we harvested the seeds, we roasted them with a sprinkle of salt and snacked on them throughout the long winter. Would my father want to plant the garden this spring? Would he and my mother even be at home to harvest in the fall? One spring afternoon, my father came home from the weekly political meeting looking sadder than usual. When I greeted him at the door, he led me to the tiny shed where he kept his gardening tools. Without a word, he walked over to the garden and started tilling the soil. I followed him with relief. I was sure the gesture meant that everything would be all right. 3 days later, the soldiers came for him. He was taken to the labor camp in the poorest section of the province. The charge against him was straightforward. He was labeled a counter-revolutionary because of his profession and his family background. His father had been a landowner before the communists took over in China in 1949. Anyone who owned land, had factories or money or property before 1949, or had relatives who did, was considered an enemy of the poor. For that reason alone, one could be persecuted. My mother's punishment was not as severe. Although she was a doctor, her parents were far from wealthy, so her family background was not considered as vile as that of my father's. She was no longer allowed to practice medicine, but at least she was not sent to a labor camp. She cleaned rooms in our local hospital, read Chairman Mao's books, and heard lectures on her husband's misdeeds. When the sunflowers were ready for harvest, I collected them alone and cried the whole time. I vowed not to eat a single seed until my mother and I visited my father during the Chinese New Year. When we arrived at the labor camp, the first thing I did was set a bag of roasted seeds into Father's hand. His pale, bony face broke into a sad smile. I hoped the seeds would nourish him, body and spirit, and help keep him alive. When the next spring came, I planted the garden alone, and I did not cry this time. It was as if the warm, familiar earth filled me with renewed hope for Father's return. I took special care of the garden. Watching the sunflowers grow was my only link to my father. The new year arrived, but I was ill. Mother had to go alone to visit the labor camp. I gave her a big bag of sunflowers to take. When she returned home, she was in tears. Through muffled sobs, she said, "Your father's suffered so. He's so thin, so sickly. He didn't smile once in the 2 hours I was there. not even when I gave him the seeds. I couldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe that Father might lose hope. The next spring, Mother told me not to bother with the garden. It won't make any difference to your father, she said sadly. I was so angry at her lack of faith that I refused to speak to her until I finished planting the garden. In July 1968, my father was released from the labor camp. When I went with my mother to bring him home, he did not smile. He looked numb, frozen. He barely spoke. But when he saw our garden, the sunflowers standing tall in the warm summer afternoon, a smile quivered on his lips. My mother sighed with relief. I cried. 10 years later, the Cultural Revolution was over. Both my parents had been restored to their posts as doctors. When their hospital built new housing for the medical staff, Mother and Father were assigned a large, sunny apartment. They were eager to leave the small, dark house, but Father would not leave the garden. After much pleading and begging by my parents, the housing administrator agreed to let Father have a small patch of land in a community garden. Only then would he move. I have left China, but my parents and I write often. Mother says Father still grows his sunflowers and still sits in the sun, watching them smile. An ocean away, so do I. That's called Sunflowers in Beijing, written by Linda Jin Zhao, one of the many stories that make up chicken soup for the gardener's soul. And that's the Green Thumb Show for this week. For Sun Sounds Radio, I'm Lee Murray, your reader. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. Be safe and healthy, and we'll be talking with you soon.